You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, and away we go on the Thursday podcast. Al, what is in your ass? What's going on?
Nothing right now, Jerry. I have my jeans on, but I do have I do have a printed out article, which is very rare for the
we haven't done that
post game podcast.
Time.
I have a printed out article that was sent to me by a man named Bob Jones.
Hello, Bob Jones, the guy from Augusta National from 100 years ago.
I don't know if that's his fake name or his real name. It was sent to me on Twitter because it involved the two things that we kind of talk about often on the warm-up show / post-game podcast.
Okay.
That is, we talk about how sometimes we're in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sure.
And we also talk a lot about how Mariano Rivera blew the 2001 World Series right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how could there be sports gods, Jerry, if that happened.
Right, sure. That was the one that sold it for me.
Yeah, so here's an article dated November of 2019 that was sent to me. And it's the headline is, this comes from Empire Sports Media, Jerry, and written by a man named Robert Brzezinski, just to give proper credit here. And the headline is, how blowing Game 7 of the 2001 World Series saved a Yankee's life. I hadn't heard this story
saved
before.
A Yankee's life?
Yeah,
okay.
Saved a Yankee's life.
Okay.
Let's see. Enrique Wilson.
I remember Enrique Wilson.
Was a backup infielder whom the Yankees acquired from the Pirates during the 2001 season. He watched from the dugout as this whole thing developed about Mariano blowing the game. Anticipating a Yankee win and subsequent parade, Wilson booked a flight back to his native Dominican Republic for a week or so later. When the ninth inning went as it did, Wilson decided to take an earlier flight and canceled his original flight because Mariano blew the game. The flight he was originally scheduled to be on was an American Airlines flight, Flight 587, leaving New York for the Dominican Republic. The plane crashed in Queens.
I remember that.
Killing all 265 people on board. Enrique Wilson told Mariano Rivera the story. And the veteran closer was shaken, but at the same time grateful. He may have blown a World Series, but losing the 2001 World Series allowed Enrique Wilson to live. What about that? That's a pretty wild story. How would you feel about that as far as things happening for a reason or totally random going through life? And if you leave 5 minutes late for work, you might get in a deadly crash. If you leave 5 minutes early for work.
Wrong place, wrong time, right
so
place,
you think
right time.
Total coincidence, right?
I mean, you're going to tell me that was God? I mean, what about the 200 people that were on the plane?
Yeah, what about those 265? That's a good point.
Because it's as if we forget about everybody else that actually suffered and died. So Enrique Wilson, very lucky that he wasn't on that plane, but please don't tell me a higher power did that because you're really shorting the other 200 people.
Yeah.
That are no longer with us.
Hmm. That's a really good point, Jerry, one I hadn't considered while reading the actual article, that this man, well, he did save Enrique Wilson's life, but, yeah, and I guess you can't blame, so we're not going to blame Mariano Rivera for the other 265 deaths because that plane crashed whether he blew the game or not. Just that man wasn't on the flight.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, that's kind of the way it goes. I mean, it's a terrible story.
Yeah.
Good for him, awful for those people, obviously. And then, you know, what about you? You know, I don't know where you want to stop this. How about all the people that, I don't know, just were miserable for the next month because the Yankees lost? What about, I don't know, a kid that had a dying wish to see the Yankees win one more time before cancer took him, and then they blew the game? I mean, you can do this as long and far as you want.
Yeah, Boomer one time, and I wish I remembered the details of this, but Boomer one time heard you and I talking about this and the sports gods and the Yankees. How could the sports gods have let the Yankees lose a World Series in 2001, in particular, Jerry, to what we still see as an expansion team in the Arizona Diamondbacks? And Boomer knew somebody who passed away in 9/11 whose family member was an Arizona Diamondbacks fan,
yep,
and how that World Series helped him in the grieving process. So that happens as well.
There's no doubt about it. For every bad story, there's 100 good stories or whatever. They're one for one, however number, however you want to say it. It's just, it's personal to you, mm-hmm, and it's personal to others in a different way.
Correct. And then I want to turn to this, Jerry. A fella named Timothy sent this to us. He said, I know how you and Jerry say you'd become a driver if you had to. It's the sixth deadliest job in America. So this guy sent me the most deadly jobs in America according to 2022 statistics, mm-hmm, Jerry.
Okay.
Have you had a chance to peek at this?
No.
This is a civilian occupations with the highest fatal work injury rates. All right. Number one, this seems like a dangerous job, Jerry. Logging workers. These are people who are chopping down trees and chopping them
that
up.
That seems relatively dangerous.
Like you go into the rainforest, yes, you go up into the Canadian woods, you're chopping down these massive trees. Now, I'm not talking about the guy, Jerry, chopping down trees in your backyard, although that's probably a very dangerous job as well.
Okay.
I'm talking about these loggers, Jerry, where day in, day out, they are chopping down these enormous trees and making logs out of them.
Yep.
That is the number one most dangerous job that you could have as a civilian.
It makes sense.
I guess they're taking that. When they say civilians, they don't mean military, because I guess military has very dangerous jobs. Number two is an interesting one, Jerry, because it's people we see every day. These are the people in the neighborhood. Roofers.
Yeah, again.
Roofing is a very dangerous job.
Right.
You see people up there. And by the way, this is like huge roofing season. This, at least down the shore, it's roofing season. People getting their houses ready for to be moved back in. So a lot of people in the Jersey Shore area do roofing.
Mm-hmm.
I know another big time of year is in the fall after summer, because mm-hmm, they don't want to be up there roofing
in the winter.
Or
the dead of summer.
The dead of summer.
Yeah, it's hot as hell up
July,
there.
July, August, you can't be up there roofing.
Although they do.
They
I
do.
I did it one summer. I remember. I did it in July.
You had the second most dangerous job, Jerry.
For 3 weeks.
You were roofing.
Like in July, 3 weeks, and that I was done.
Right, but you got to think, if you have the second most dangerous job, being a roofer.
Yes.
And you're doing it every day.
Yeah.
At what point are you statistically due for a bad accident?
You know how many roofers there are in this country?
I know.
And that's the whole thing with the driving thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many drivers we have in this country. That's like when people say it's safer to fly than to drive. I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of 99% of airline crashes, you die.
Yeah. I think
not
you all, are
most.
If you were to say you could either get into an automobile accident or an airline accident.
I'll take my chances with the car accident.
Correct.
And the seatbelt and the airbags.
Correct.
Doesn't mean that it's not 100% you're going to survive,
right,
it, but I feel like my chances of surviving a car
better
accident are a lot better than an airline crash.
Correct. For the roofers being a dangerous job that's very deadly, do you think falling off the roof is number one?
I think it has to be or falling off the ladder, because a lot of times you've got to carry up all the materials,
yeah,
that are heavy as hell. You got to make sure the ladder's secure. When you get it up there, you got to get them up onto the roof. Then you got to get up and down on the ladder. You can't slip. If you slip, there's no net.
Right,
like,
you're
nuts.
You're,
man,
working on a hill the whole, or like that,
yeah,
angle the whole time.
Yeah, it's a slanted roof. And I'm afraid of heights as well.
Yeah, me
it
too.
It was awful. I'm telling you, it was the worst few weeks of my life working wise.
I also would worry about like the wooden part of the roof, that like a roofer is putting the tiles on,
mm-hmm,
the wooden part of the, what if that's weak and you step right through it and whoop?
Yeah, it's possible.
Into the house.
It's possible. I mean, that plywood would really have to be shot to crap for that to happen. But that's certainly possible.
Another dangerous part, nail gun.
Yeah.
That nail gun.
Your foot. I mean, Chevy Chase did that in Christmas Vacation when he put the lights up.
Right. He nailed his shirt. Yeah, right to the thing.
That's right.
Let me see what other dangerous jobs I have here on the list, Jerry. So we've got loggers, roofers, fishing and hunting workers. I don't know about that one. Then it goes.
You know, they're shooting. Anything with guns.
Hunting workers. Good point.
Yeah.
Construction trades.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Then how about this one, Jerry? You just mentioned aircraft pilots and flight engineers.
Flight engineers, huh? I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I guess they've got to be on the flight.
Okay. Well, I mean, every time you get on a plane, like getting in a car, you're taking a chance. So
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, these are dangerous jobs. These are all blue-collar jobs, Jerry.
And I really think driving's on the list because of the sheer volume.
Correct. You got driving. You got iron and steel workers. Again, those are the dudes that are walking huge heights in New York City on those girders where we see that old classic black and white photo of all those dudes with their lunch pails sitting on the piece of iron that's just in the middle of the sky.
The most classic black and white photo you'll ever see about New York City.
I love that one.
Yeah, I don't, and it, I think it's real, too.
I think it's real as well. It's just guys with their metal lunch boxes on their lunch break, iron workers putting up buildings like the Empire State Building, Chrysler Building, and they're sitting up there, Jerry, not a care in the world with heights. Why are we afraid of heights and these guys are not?
Well, different emotions. We're all built differently. I don't know. I don't know why I have that fear. Whereas there are other things I don't fear, other people do. I don't know the answer to that.
Could you be in like people say they can't get an MRI because they're in the enclosed tube?
I've done MRIs. I don't like them. But
you're not panicking.
No. I shut my eyes. I'm good with it. I don't like how tight it is. It really is. Like that thing is right above your eyes. Knowing that I could wiggle out if I had to, it's not enclosed, certainly helps.
Yeah.
But it's not a comfortable feeling at all. So I'm also not terrified of it like some people are.
You know what I wonder about, like roofers, construction workers? A lot of times they are men who come from another country.
Okay.
Right?
And landscapers.
Yeah. They come from another country. How do they get the skills, like if they don't speak English?
I have no idea.
Which a lot of them don't speak English. Being in construction, being in roofing, seems like a pretty detailed, very specific way that you have to do things in order for your safety and for the safety of the thing you're installing.
Sure. How about when they do the mud guys, when they're doing the drywall? And they got to make sure all the seams are perfect before you paint. They're so good at it. Whether it's whoever. I mean, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the immigrants that come in and do jobs like that. And they do it so well. And I'm saying, I can't figure it out.
Tiling.
It pisses me off.
Like do tiling, like a beautiful bathroom, a beautiful kitchen. And there are guys that will wait outside like a Home Depot to be picked up to go work on a project that day, and they know how to do everything?
Yeah. I mean, you go to a 7-Eleven or a Wawa on a Saturday morning, and their guys, they just want work. They're just looking for work. And then most of the time, they can do anything you really need them to
do.
Which is amazing to have that type of skill.
Right. And I guess one person of the group must be able to speak English to communicate with the person who's hiring the work.
So I've never done this, but a friend of mine does all the time, actually. And what he tells me is you go find the person who's kind of in charge and they'll ask, what are you looking to do? And I guess certain guys are good at different things and maybe there are some that can do all, you know? And so I need landscaping done today. I need tile work done. I need some drywall done. Maybe it's specific to what their skill is.
No, it's weird. Like there's two things. One, the guys are looking for work. So you want to be able to give them work if you have work. But because it doesn't seem like sanctioned work, I always feel like, what if they were injured on my property? Am I going to be sued And I had workers that aren't licensed to be doing the work on my property.
Right. But that's a problem, too. That's a big problem, actually.
That's what I would worry about.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you want to give work to people who really want work and really need work. And yet, I'm picking up a group of guys that I don't know what their story is. I don't know them at all. They don't know me. If they are using a chainsaw and chainsaw one of their legs off, am I going to be...
You'll be homeowner's insurance.
I'm going to be in a lawsuit, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I always wonder that, too. Like, what's the insurance for, like, a tree company?
Yeah.
So I've had, over the past couple of years, I've had a bunch of trees quarterized or taken out. And I'm looking at these guys. In some cases, they climbed the tree with spike shoes and a little harness.
Yeah.
And they're literally 80 feet in the air. And I'm thinking, one slip and then what?
Yeah.
Like, he gone. Then what do we do?
Yeah, that's why, like, that should be. I know people will complain about how expensive it is to get a tree cut down. Right.
I agree. There are certain things that cost so much more than I think they should. And there are certain jobs that, to me, don't cost enough.
Right. And going up, because you got to think, like you said, what is the insurance for the job to climb up a tree and cut it down while you're in it?
Yeah.
You're in the tree cutting it down, hoping it doesn't crash into a neighbor's house, the house you're working on, a person down below.
I agree.
Because insurance for dumb things is expensive.
Yep. Not something that you literally could have a problem staying alive.
Correct.
I always think we talk about airline prices. To me, airline prices should be standardized. You want to fly from New York to South Carolina? Yeah. $100. You want to go to Florida? $200. You want to Dallas? $350. You want to go to California? $900.
Right, because you're going all the way across the
country.
You
don't like it? Drive. You want to go to Hawaii and cross the Pacific Ocean? $2,000.
Right. You're going to be flying over the ocean, and that you got to really trust us.
If not, drive to California and rent a boat.
Yeah.
Good luck getting there. That's one of those, and I'm being obviously extreme when I say $900 and $2,000, but you think about what you're getting. In some cases, you can book, no joke, I've gone enough times to California where you can go round trip to California for like $290, $300.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, I'm going from New York to California and California to New York for like $145 each way?
Doesn't make sense.
What? It costs more to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
It really is something.
Right. And then other times, a short flight is a ridiculous $500
amount. To go to Charleston.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I know.
It's like you see a concert in Atlantic City. You go, I'm kind of interested in this. Oh, the room is $600 that night?
I know.
I heard a commercial for the band America.
Yeah.
Horse with No Name, Ventura Highway, Amy, they sing. Mm-hmm. No, Pure Prairie League sings Amy. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
But America, we know their songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Ocean's
Resort. Tin Man.
Tin Man, yeah. Ocean's Resort. I'm like, oh, Gina would like that. So I first go look at the tickets. Tickets are more than I would want to spend, $200.
$200?
Yeah. But I'm like, okay, let me see what the... See, the room is at the Ocean Resort that night. $563.
It's ridiculous.
Sorry, $1,000.
To go see America.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm with you. No chance. And then to get dinner. And then to get dinner and breakfast the next morning.
And drinks, Jerry. I got to have some drinks if I'm going to go see America.
Your gas, your tolls. You're probably in for $1,400 for one night.
Got to pay to put my dog up in a dog hotel.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no.
Life has gotten so incredibly expensive very quickly, too.
Yeah.
It's always been expensive for the most part. These last few years, it has just, and I'm not getting political, trust me, but these last few years have just been...
It's gotten nuts.
Eye-opening. Really eye-opening.
And yet, Jerry, people don't seem to have a problem paying for it.
We continue to do it. We continue to do it.
Like, the only reason why the tickets to see America...
is people are paying for it.
And the room at Ocean Resorts is $563... is because someone's going to... That room ain't going to sit empty that weekend.
It's amazing because I would go to Atlantic City more than I do.
Yeah.
But the price is, like you said, I'm not spending $1,200 for one night. I'd rather just go somewhere.
And in the summer, if you go during the week where it's cheaper, there's no vibe.
During the week?
Yeah.
No, you can't go during the week. Thursday night's okay, but you really have to go...
You got to go on the weekends.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I actually have a... a May visit to Borgata.
Oh, nice.
To see John Hyatt.
Okay.
I was on a Saturday night or Friday or Saturday night.
Were you?
But I got him so far in advance that the rooms were reasonable, like $200.
And that's actually reasonable.
That's how you have to do it.
Yep. Good for you.
Hey, good for you.
Good for you.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Right on.
We did that at 5 a.m. And we'll be back tomorrow. Oh, it's Friday already, Jerry.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Alan Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
There we go. It's Thursday. That means you're one day closer to the weekend. The Eddie Scazzeri science is a great thing. I do agree. I disagree with Mike Francesa. What's up there, Al Dukes?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I got to tell you, the overnight callers, you know, they're, and this has happened no matter who is hosting, they're like clockwork.
A lot of times, yes.
And
yes.
For example, when
very
I
routine.
Hear, yeah, when I hear Mitchell and Fort Lee on the air.
Oh, I don't know that one.
He's the very last caller every show. When I hear him come on the air, I go, okay, time for me to go to the bathroom, get my hot water with honey, because I've only got a few moments before you and I come on the air. So thank you, Mitchell and Fort Lee. When I hear your voice, I go, uh-oh.
I know Stuart in Brooklyn's like that, too, right around 3:05 every day.
Yeah, so you can, you have to, they become part of your routine.
It's kind of like us. We know what light we're going to hit at the exact same time every morning when
we drive
to work.
Absolutely.
They make the same call at the same time.
Yep. Listen, that's humans are a scheduled group by nature.
Very much so.
I believe so. I read something on the Twitter this morning that both, and I guess this was discussed on Evan and Tiki yesterday, but McMonagle also agreed, and I was very puzzled.
Okay.
That two people would agree with this. Both Evan and McMonagle want baseball stadiums to stay open an extra hour than they already do so that you can really enjoy the ballpark when the game's over, because the games are too short now. Baseball games.
They are a lot quicker than they used to be. I would like them to stay open. I wouldn't say an extra hour, but I've always said when we go to games and like during the week, you know my routine when we go to a game. Top of the ninth inning, we go to
You're in the rotunda.
Yes, but we watch from the top of the stairs from behind the first level seating near the exit that's closest to the car, because as soon as that final out is recorded, we're gone, because I got to be the first one to the car, because otherwise I won't get home I'll lose an hour.
Yeah.
But on the weekends when we go, I like to sit there when the game's over, let the stadium clear out, let some traffic go, then I know I'm going to sit in the parking lot for a little while. But they, let's go, got to get out, let's
they
go.
They try to throw you out.
Can you give me 20 minutes? I don't need an hour. But if you gave me an extra 30 minutes, like as soon as the final out's recorded, that to me would be fair.
So how about this?
We can do it for an hour. What are you doing there?
Weekend day games, keep it open longer.
Fair.
And weeknights, get out. You got to get out.
But everybody's got to get home on a weeknight.
I leave everything early now. Like I'm not, I go to a Bruce Springsteen concert, I'm out.
You know, it's interesting because I didn't early. See you in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday.
Yeah, I leave early. I gotta, Trey, I got to beat traffic. I leave every place
There's
early.
There's nothing worse than just sitting there. And I always wonder, like I've been in parking lots where, you know, you wait, you play till the end. And you sit there like, this is going to take 4 hours because there's two exits and 5,000 cars. And it's amazing to me, actually, once it gets moving, how quickly it does go. Now, it does take an hour. I'm not saying it doesn't. But like I remember I did the Cowboys and Eagles this year for Compass Media Networks, and that place was packed. So we did the post-game show, which was short, and then we went and had a little bit of a meal. So like, all right, let's go to the car. I'm like, nah, you guys got to give it more time. And Michelle's like, no, it's probably okay. We go outside. Everybody's gone. Like within 40 minutes, everybody was gone. It was mind-blowing, actually.
Boomer's talked about this for a few years when he was doing Monday Night Football because he would experience this. He'd do the Monday night game and then have to get back here to be on the air at 6. So he was wanting to get out of there as fast as possible. And he made a great point. You know, we build all these stadiums with all of these entrances and exits to make traffic less of a problem. And yet we always close them.
Right.
Like we funnel the exit to one or two exits. Mm-hmm. Why?
In a lot of cases,
open
that's true.
It up.
I don't know. I do not know the answer to that.
I also don't wonder, it's like when you're in traffic and you'll be like, wherever, you choose your road, LIE, Turnpike, Parkway. And it's slow, slow, slow. Then all of a sudden it opens up. And like you don't know.
Well, you don't know why this slowdown happened.
But don't you want to see the beginning? Like what is causing the holdup?
Sure.
If you get there and there's no accident.
Sometimes it can be as simple as someone jamming on the brakes by mistake. And all of a sudden, then the guy behind him has to stop short. The guy behind him, and it kind of funnels all the way back and it can really snarl traffic for a short time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be in a helicopter, but I'd like to go up with one of the traffic helicopter people one day just to see where is it starting?
Mm-hmm.
Where is all this chaos beginning?
You know where it usually starts? Orange cones.
That is a good point.
They start closing down lanes.
Orange cones. Oh. Orange cones.
Big orange cone.
Jerry.
That was a band, was it not?
That was a cover band in New Jersey. Big orange cone.
How about that?
Yeah. There's a lot of orange cones around WFAN today. They're shooting a CBS series called FBI.
Yeah, it's a good show. I don't know if you've ever... Well, you don't have TV.
It's actually
a very good show. I haven't seen a million of those episodes, but I've seen probably 7 or 8 of them. It's good.
You ever recognize our buildings in any of these shows? Because they're always shooting down here.
No, I haven't. But I will be looking for... I'll tell you what I'll be looking for. My car is parked near some cones on the proper side of the street.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for my car.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, me too. I parked right in front of you, Jerry.
Yeah. But I don't think where we parked, we're in the epicenter of where they're shooting. I think they're shooting right by our building.
Yeah, I believe they are as well.
That's what it looks like to me.
In more Evan and Tiki news.
Wow.
Yeah, this is two
stories.
They're
making news?
They're making news.
They quit.
I saw a photograph of a Evan book signing in Staten Island
yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, and he was taking Tiki with him.
Nice crowd.
Well, like he said, I'm bringing Tiki with me to make sure people show up.
That's fair to say that, but I will tell you, the overwhelming majority of people were in Mets colors.
That's
and
awesome.
Mets gear.
Good for Evan.
So that is really cool.
That is very cool. That's one thing you're always concerned about.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm doing a book signing. 4 people show
that
up.
That is embarrassing.
Yeah, I agree.
The old Howard Stern show, way back in the day, used to send camera crews to book signings to see how bad they were. And they'd send Stuttering John. There'd be no one there. So they had to take Stuttering John's questions because no one else was interested. So embarrassing.
And yet when Stern does a book a couple times, the lines are around the block.
They were around the block.
Which is amazing.
So Evan had a nice in-between there. I don't think they were around the block, but it was more crowded than I would have guessed.
Mm.
So good for you.
Yeah, I wonder if Beningo ever did a book signing.
I bet he did.
He did. Russo did a book.
Why don't we do a book,
right,
Jerry?
Didn't Russo do a book? I think he did. I know Joe did the whole Rules of Being a Fan or whatever. I think Russo did a book,
Russo did a book about great games or something in
New
York.
Maybe. Something like that.
You and I need a book, Jerry.
I'll do a book.
Just so we could do book signings.
Done. Where? Bradley Beach?
Yeah. What we do is we do, you know what the key thing to do is do book signings at small independent bookstores so that it looks like a lot
so
of people.
So if 12 people show up, we're doing good.
Like Evan was at a Barnes & Noble. Mm. That's a big store.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
You got to get a lot of people
Evan's
in there.
Evan's making some coin.
I guess so.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Jerry, the Yankees lost last night to the very lowly Marlins. You can't win every game. No. That is true. But I saw a couple things here. One, Aaron Judge struck out with the bases loaded to end the game.
Flied out.
Good point.
Your guy, Emmanuel Babari, was on the call last night.
Is that right?
Yep. He apparently got, fired?
Justin Shackle.
Said,
good for him.
My time to shine.
Right. That's one of my clients, Jerry, as you know now.
I see you went to work fast.
I'm now a sports agent. And Emmanuel Babari is one of my only clients.
Yeah.
But Judge flies out. I did see Sal Licata in that ninth inning. Juan Soto took a walk.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this? Sal says, in that position, Yankees down, you're Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Can you take a walk there, or should you be swinging the bat?
Well, I didn't see the at-bat. I'd have to go see the at-bat if there were hittable pitches. If he's taking, you know, if he's 2-0 and he takes a fastball down the middle of the plate, I'd be ticked off. This is what Juan Soto is, though. Like, anybody that thinks that he's going to change the way he plays, you know, one thing, if you listen to Brandon every day like I do, before he even got here, he would talk about Juan Soto being an on-base guy. He's going to do everything he can to get on base. I'd have to go look at the at-bat to answer that question. I don't know the answer to it.
Maybe we'll study that during the break, Jerry.
I can look at it for sure.
And break it down.
Although I was quite ticked off with my MLB.TV app today.
What happened?
A million commercials. Yeah. I ain't paying $27 goddamn dollars a month to have four commercials before. Play the video. That annoyed me.
If I'm paying for a service.
God.
Do not give me commercials.
And it's been good. Al, it has been phenomenal. I don't know why this morning I get hit with a Home Depot commercial, a Cadet lawnmower commercial, something. Oh, God. I almost threw the mouse out. Ugh.
This is the trade-off. You get a free show, free high-quality program like Al and Jerry. You get a couple commercials. If you're paying big bucks, there should be no commercials, Jerry.
Yeah.
I did also.
Let me just tell you this real quick. So I'm just looking at the at-bat on the pitch.
With the pictures of where the pitches went?
Yes.
Okay.
He did swing twice.
Ooh.
So it's not like he takes ball one up and away. I'm sorry. Oh, he didn't. You know what? I take it back. He didn't swing once.
He didn't swing the bat?
No.
Juan Soto.
Strike looking. Ooh. Ball borderline. Another ball, 3-1. He takes a strike. Now, I didn't see it. I'm going to watch the at-bat during the break. It looks like it's a pretty good pitch to hit.
Yeah.
And then he takes ball four, so he didn't even swing.
That's
interesting.
We're paying you the big bucks. Swing the bat.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. And he's the tying run in that spot. I understand. Wow.
Aaron Boone got tossed last night.
Love it.
First time of the season.
Love it. That umpire was crap last night.
Here's what I don't like, though.
Okay.
So it's a bad pitch to Alex Verdugo.
Yes. Now, just give some context to it. In the fourth inning, he struck out on a pitch that was 6 inches off the plate.
A called third strike.
That wasn't even close to a strike.
Okay.
So for context, Verdugo already struck out on a terrible pitch that the umpire calls strike three. Boone says something, lets it go, and tells Verdugo, get him next time, essentially. And that was it. Didn't really yell, scream too much. Then you go to the seventh inning, and you can pick up the story now.
Well, again, he gets a called strike.
Yeah, it was like the first pitch or the second pitch of the at-bat, yeah.
And Boone was yelling from the dugout,
mm-hmm.
to which the umpire then threw him out. But then Boone is then allowed to walk onto the field to argue with the umpire? That doesn't seem right. That should be a suspension.
Then change the rule. I love it. Matter of fact, punch him in the face.
They're not going to change, Jerry. They're not going to allow managers to come onto the field, punch the umpire in the face.
I'm kidding, of course. But I do like Paul O'Neill's take on this. This was on Amazon Prime last night. The game wasn't on, yes. This was Paul O'Neill.
And Boone said he's trying to cut down on the ejections this year.
You know what? Every once in a while, maybe you should eject the umpire right back at
him. I agree. How about you go out and say, you're out of here because you suck.
So allow a manager to have authority every once in a while to throw an umpire out.
I'm telling you, Al, the worst part of this is, like, you know when an umpire is bad, but that damn box on the screen makes it worse. It's one thing when they're borderline calls, but when they are so far out of the zone and you see them calling strikes, and I understand be consistent both ways, fine. But the strikeout in the fourth inning, I'm not saying the Yankees were going to come back and win the game by any stretch. But the Marlins are up 4-0. You've got you got two guys on, and you call strike three on a pitch that's not close to a strike. Could be game-changing. If Verdugo actually walks or gets the next pitch and drives it for a W, you got a new game. It's just they changed the game, and that box is a killer. It really is, because it shows you how off they are.
And then so when Aaron Boone gets tossed, the manager then has to be the bench coach.
Correct.
It just seems like it must be so easy to be a manager during the game, because Boone gets tossed. He just casually walks over to the bench coach, hands him the lineup. The dude takes it, just slides it in his back pocket like we're not, this ain't going to affect us at all.
The only thing it affects is pitching changes, really, and if you're going to pinch it for a guy. I mean, the game plan's in. The guys are doing what they have to do, and you got Aaron Judge up with the bases loaded. If Aaron Judge hits a home run or a double, it's a different story this morning.
Is Aaron Boone able to text the bench coach?
My guess is they probably do. My guess is it's also probably not allowed.
So it's probably hidden.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. Let me ask you this. I know you don't watch a lot of games these days, but have you ever, in your time watching a game over the last 10 years, have you ever seen a manager take out their phone?
I haven't.
Me neither. So I don't know if they do or they don't. Now, you can walk inside in between innings. You can go into the clubhouse, I guess, and have a conversation, I suppose. But I've never seen anybody. The only time I've seen anybody with a phone in a baseball game, I don't know if it was a college player or it was a rookie in the big leagues. They slid. I think it might have been a Pittsburgh Pirate rookie. He slid into third base. He had his phone in his back pocket, and it popped out.
I think you're correct. I think it was a Pirates rookie.
I don't. Yeah, that seems vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see phones in the dugouts.
Unfortunately,
aside from the red bat phone when you call the bullpen.
What about iPads? Do they have iPads like they NFL have teams?
Yeah, well, they have iPads that look at the pitching and the at bats.
Maybe they could do iMessage on that.
You could. Yeah, you could do that. You could also do Google texting if you needed
Google
to.
Google texting, yeah.
So I suppose that's possible, but I would think it's illegal too. But I don't know.
Yeah, I just think if you get thrown out of the game and you're in the dugout when you get thrown out, you should not be able to be allowed on the field.
Go get in that guy's face, especially when he sucks. I love Aaron Boone for that. Like, if I played for him, I would love him as my manager. You really want your manager to be like, well, I'm out. All right. Good luck, guys. I was just thrown out. Have a good day. Even though that pitch was terrible and he's killing us.
No, I wouldn't like that.
No, you wouldn't. You want him fighting for you.
Yeah. I always go back, though, to Bill Belichick, who doesn't ever seem to get angry, but I think I prefer the angry coach.
He gets angry more than you think. He does.
Yeah?
Belichick, yes. I just don't think it's as... I think if you looked up Bill Belichick outbursts on YouTube, I think you'd find more than you think.
Like on the sideline?
Yeah.
Yelling at refs,
yep,
you think?
I do. Yeah, I think you'll find more than you think.
I know I've seen Tom Brady throwing stuff around on the side. On the sideline.
He's broken the tablets.
He has many times.
Yeah.
Bounced the tablet right there, Jerry.
Hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, so I went back and I watched the Soto at bat now, and I disagree with Sal because he did not get a pitch to hit. I mean, honestly, there is one strike. Tanner Scott did nothing but throw him sliders. He never saw a fastball, number one. The only good pitch was the first strike, and it kind of caught him a little, I don't say off guard, not off guard, but he kind of buckled a little bit. I think he was looking fastball. He didn't get it. The next couple of pitches were trash. Strike two is awful. I mean, it's a borderline strike at best. And then he walks on a pitch that hits the dirt. I don't know what he was supposed to swing at. So I know what Sal's saying. In general, I agree with him. But in this case, I think he's wrong.
Yeah, Sal's point being that we didn't pay Juan Soto to come here.
But you
and
also
take
don't
walks.
Want him chasing crap either.
That is true.
And then Judge gets a pitch that I don't know if you saw it or not. I mean, off the bat, just thinking it's Aaron Judge, it looks like a classic Judge home run, and then it like meekly goes into just very moderate center field.
Oh, man. So people in the stadium must have been like, whoa.
Nah, I don't. You know what? I don't know. Like, even if you listen to Emmanuel's call, right off the bat, he's like,
he knew.
It's a fly ball.
Oh, man.
You know, there was no, it is high. Not at all. I don't think he hit it more than 300 feet.
All right. So then.
And it's got to go over 400.
It does for a home run. All right, so you take your walk if you're not getting good pitches to swing at, no matter how much we're paying you, no matter how key the spot is, you got to take a walk when you got
to
take a walk.
I would think if you do not get a pitch to hit, you walk, yes. Especially with Aaron Judge behind you.
Good point. Right. Base is going to be loaded now for Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie, she played Barbie.
Margot Robbie?
Yeah, she played Barbie in the Barbie movie.
Mm-hmm. Is she on the Knicks now?
She is not. She doesn't play basketball, Jerry. Well, this is just bizarre, and I had to get your opinion on this. Margot Robbie, who played Barbie, is producing a live-action movie, Monopoly, based on the board game.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Maybe that's going to be a murder drama, a murder mystery.
Well, that was Clue.
Oh.
This is Monopoly.
Monopoly is where you buy and sell
properties.
Property, right.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe there'll be a murder in one of the properties. I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know what they're doing with this.
Wasn't there a movie, G.I. Jane?
G.I. Jane, yeah.
Wasn't that was a pretty good movie.
That was the movie that ended up, the movie reference that ended up getting Chris Rock slapped by Will Smith. He made a G.I. Jane joke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right across the face, he took it.
Was that Demi Moore?
Demi Moore, G.I. Jane.
Where she did the SEAL training? Or am I confusing movies now?
Not sure.
Me neither.
I think it was Demi Moore.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh well, good for Margot Robbie. Maybe she's going to be maybe she's going to be the next, like, who produced Rambo?
Maybe I think Sylvester Stallone.
All right, maybe she'll be the next Stallone.
Would you go see Bobby?
I haven't gone to the movies in 15 years, so no, I wouldn't.
But you were saying you and your family would go see Monopoly in the theaters?
No.
You're not going to go see Monopoly?
No, I'm not interested, no.
Hmm.
If it's not on the Netflix or the Amazon Prime or any other of these streaming services, I'm probably out.
I'm putting a group together. We're going to do a movie based on Yahtzee.
You're such an idiot, I swear.
Yeah, it's going to be big, Jerry.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge. This is my segment called Police Blotter, Jerry. This is the sports police blotter segment.
I don't like that.
An arrest warrant has been issued for Rashee Rice. Now, he does have a full day to turn himself in.
I thought his attorney said he's taking responsibility.
His attorney did say that, but now they have officially an arrest warrant out for him.
So he'll turn himself in today.
But he does get a day. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't show up, then we go looking for him. Not me and you.
He'll show up.
I believe he'll show up as well. Here's a thing that I didn't like how casual we are with this now. So they said that marijuana was found in both cars belonging to Rashee Rice.
Mm-hmm.
We are so casual about marijuana. If I would have said a bottle of vodka was found in his car, we'd be like, holy crap, he was drunk driving. Mm-hmm. What is this? We are so casual about weed in cars.
We're very casual about weed in general now, yeah.
It blows my mind. Like, if I roll past the cop car and the smell of alcohol is coming out of my car, I'm getting pulled over.
You would think.
If you roll up past the cop car and you've just got weed pumping out of your car.
Pass the blunt.
They don't do anything. And not on them. They have no power to do anything.
I don't know what
they're
allowed to do.
I don't think they're allowed to do anything. You can just smoke weed all you want.
And anywhere. I mean, I walked to my car yesterday. I almost got high walking to my car, the amount of people that were smoking weed on the sidewalk.
How many times, you know, we're coming in at odd hours.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens other hours, too. A car will pass you on the highway.
And you smell it.
And the weed comes through your vents.
Yeah.
That's how much weed people are just...
People love weed.
People love to not be in reality of life. They just want to be in weed all day.
In an altered state.
They want to be in, just give me weed all day long. God, what kind of life are you living if you're in weed, you're in a weed state at all times?
Eddie, you got a bunch of drops for April 20th now. You have Al saying, give me weed all day.
When I'm walking my dog, all I do is smell weed.
Yeah,
it's coming out of condos.
It's everywhere.
Big houses, little houses, poor neighborhoods, rich neighborhoods, old people, young people. Weed.
That's the one thing that would concern me about living in a townhouse or a condo these days.
Yeah.
Is if you get a neighbor that like to smoke weed and do it often, it's going to penetrate your home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way. And I don't know what you can do about it. I don't think you do anything about it.
And good luck getting into an Uber or a Lyft that doesn't smell like weed.
God, the last one I was in was awful. I know.
They're like,
I know.
I like to smoke weed all day. What could I do? I know. I'll drive. Again, if I got into an Uber or a Lyft that smelled like alcohol,
you'd get out.
You'd be in panic.
I know.
But for some reason, we just let weed do whatever you want on weed. Everyone's on weed.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong.
In my second story in the police blotter, Jerry, Terrell Suggs, former Raven, he was arrested after an altercation in the drive-thru line of a Starbucks in Arizona.
How do you get into an altercation at Starbucks?
Well, this is what happened, Jerry. He placed his order, or he initially, when he went to place his order, passed by the speaker, had to back it up to place his order.
Okay.
Banged into the guy behind him. I guess some unpleasantries were exchanged.
Yeah.
And according to the arrest, Terrell Suggs then waved a gun at this guy.
Oh, that's lovely.
Now, Terrell Suggs claims he showed the guy a gun because he was fearing for his life and thought, let me show this guy a gun so he don't mess with me and my family.
Got it. How'd that end? Then what happened?
With an arrest of Terrell Suggs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a bit of a past, though. He has a really weird...
Terrell Suggs?
Yeah, there's a really weird one about... like using bleach as a weapon against somebody.
Oof.
Yeah, it was a weird one. So be careful. I mean, you're right. Middle of the day, Starbucks.
There should be no issues.
Ever. Jerry. People are getting their coffee.
Oh, my God.
And in my third story, Jerry.
Oh, my God. Another one?
Well, this is not, this isn't anybody arrested.
Oh, okay.
Gio brought up this new feature from Antonio Brown called Cracker of the Day.
Oh, that's nice.
So Antonio Brown has named Morgan Wallen, the country singer, Cracker of the Day.
Oh, for throwing the chair off the rooftop?
Yeah, he was arrested for throwing a chair off a rooftop, and they claim the bit of could be alcohol issues with Mr. Morgan Wallen.
But no, for real.
For real.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't usually throw chairs off the rooftops of buildings unless something's going on.
No, you don't.
Or unless you got into some sort of an altercation and your mind just went nuts momentarily.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that whole situation is being... Is it Morgan Wallen the one, too, that canceled the show that Gio was going to?
Yeah.
At the Meadowlands?
Yep.
So he's had an interesting year then.
He's had some things with the alcohol, it appears.
Yeah, I guess so.
That would sometimes... These country artists, Jerry, they singing about alcohol a lot.
I've always wondered, though, whether it's a country artist or any musical act... Or I guess anybody that's on tour, even if you're like a traveling show, it's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of bars. It's got to be really difficult to stay away from like that life. I know the Chili Peppers went through it with drug use and alcohol, and now they're like, I mean, I think they do yoga and they do meditation now, and I think they're all off that because now they're in their 60s and they've kind of grown up. But if you're, let's say you're in your 20s or 30s and you are ripping it up and you're successful, you're rich, and you have, you know, like your shows are over at 11 p.m. And when the shows are over, you've got a few options, one of them being go party because you just made a fortune. It's got to be really hard to avoid that lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. And all the, I am telling you, if you listen to country music, it is all about drinking.
And breakups.
Everything.
Yeah. Alcohol and breakups.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if you're somebody who's in alcohol recovery, you're in AA, there's no way you can listen to country music because all it is glorifying drinking.
It, 100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Know what they got to get into, Jerry? Weed.
Well, it's probably coming soon.
Weed.
Nah, you know what the problem is with that? They really do like their bourbon.
The country stars?
They do. They do.
They love bourbons. They love beers.
They love beer.
And they love margaritas.
And God.
And God.
A lot of country songs about God.
That's true, Jerry.
Breakups, God, alcohol.
Right. People always think pickup trucks. That's that's the stereotype, Jerry?
Yeah.
That it's all about pickups. There are stories about pickups and trucks, for sure. But alcohol, God, breakups.
What's the song that I think gets all of them in? The Chase Rice. Sitting here drinking beer, talking God. that song's got all of it.
We'll come back with that one, Jerry. I love that.
I like that. That sounds good.
Sitting here drinking beer, singing God.
Talking God, amen. That's true, man. That's, I think, Chase Rice.
Nailed them all.
Let's take a break. Let's come back with that song. We can even listen to it for a moment if we'd like.
Okay.
And then we'll get you Boomer and Geo, who we'll talk about Morgan Wallen later, right here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crackle in the fall air, red dirt playing on the radio, Big Dipper hanging high up there.
Pretty good, right?
In the backwoods, it's pretty good, Jerry. Yeah.
I ain't never been to church going tight. Can't quote much past 3:16.
Pretty good.
I didn't know you knew these lyrics.
I did.
Jerry.
Church found
me. All right,
here we
go.
Sitting here drinking beer, talking God, amen. Killing time, living life with some down home friends. When the world's gone crazy.
Jerry, what if in the summer,
friends and God,
what if in the summer, the warm-up show, we just DJ country music for an hour before Boomer and Geo come on?
That'd be fun.
Like, we just play country songs.
Yeah, let's do it.
For an hour.
How about the Monday after, the Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend?
That's
let's
when we
kick
start.
Off summer. Yeah.
And then we come back to doing talk shows.
Yeah.
The day after Labor Day.
Done.
Get your requests in.
And then it's over.
It's the Al and Jerry All Request Hour.
We could do this.
Country music.
Yeah. I don't know much country music, but the few songs I do know, I do kind of know them.
I was just thinking, though, you know, we just did a story about, you know, Morgan Wallen, the country artist. He threw that chair off the. He ought to do something with WWE because they do, you know, they hit wrestlers with chairs.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool? They're at some event, right? There's a match going on. All of a sudden, a chair is thrown into the ring.
And then help the spotlight.
And it's Morgan Wallen through the chair. Oh, man, that would
be
huge.
Again,
Jerry.
You should be an agent.
Yes, thank
you. If you were
you.
Morgan Wallen's agent, you'd be pitching that to WWE already.
I say, listen, he's in a bad spot. It's looking bad. What if we had fun with it?
Perfect.
Jerry, last night, I always love an interesting thing that happens in sports. And last night, the Naylor brothers.
Oh, Josh and Bo?
Josh and Bo.
I saw this.
They play for the Cleveland Guardians. They're brothers. They're both on the same team. They both hit home runs in the same inning.
And it was National Siblings Day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was National Siblings Day.
Yeah, I think it was the fourth inning, I think.
Now, these guys have actually done that before. Last year they did.
Oh, really?
On July 14th.
See, I know Josh Naylor. I'm not familiar with Bo Naylor.
Bo Naylor? Naylor. I don't even know
her.
Hey-o.
Such really two idiots.
The Naylor brothers.
Yeah. Well, we'll see them this weekend because they're playing the Yankees.
So they did it last year as well. The Upton brothers, Jerry.
Okay.
Do you know who they are?
Yes, BJ and Justin.
Correct. They did it for the Braves in 2013.
Okay.
And then I looked, there are actually six pair of brothers to do it in all of baseball. I didn't write them all down, but the Ripken brothers did it.
Okay, Billy and Cal. Fair.
Yeah, there were some others I probably...
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, I didn't write them all down, but...
Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. ever homer in the same game? I know they didn't play long together, but they did play a season or two together.
That's a good question.
Right, because I can't think of another
just
father
Google
and
it.
Son duo that we've seen and that would have been capable of doing that. I don't know. Al is Googling it
I'm Googling now before you
clip it again.
Oh, in honor of Father's Day, here is Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. hitting back-to-back home runs in 1990.
No kidding. For the Mariners?
For the waddle-doodle, Jerry.
Had to be the Mariners.
Yeah, Mariners. Yeah. That is awesome.
That is very neat.
They didn't do it on Father's Day, I'm saying.
No, but
someone posted it in honor of Father's Day.
But they did it in the same game back-to-back.
I mean, think about that.
It's pretty wild.
You have a boy.
Yeah.
You have two boys.
Yeah.
When that boy was born and you had this little boy,
mm-hmm.
could you have imagined, like, Ken Griffey has a baby boy. He's mm-hmm. just a blob, right, Jerry?
Correct.
They don't even have neck muscles.
They don't speak.
They
have no control of what they're doing.
You've got to cradle their head because their necks don't even have a
haven't
muscle.
Developed yet. That's right.
They don't have bones yet, Jerry. These mm-hmm. babies don't have bones. And there he is with his baby going, one day we're going to hit back-to-back home runs.
Yeah.
The chances of that have got to be astronomical.
I will tell you. Now, so Joseph turns 14 today.
Ooh.
This is his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yep. I will tell you that when I look back now, Matthew's going to be 20 this year. When I used to play golf a lot before he was born. Then when he was born, I thought I would keep playing, and I didn't. And for literally the last 17 or 18 years, I have not played at all other than once or twice a year max at an outing or something. Because you're always with them, and you're, you know, running around, travel sports, or just you're not going to run out on them on a Saturday afternoon, or so I just never did that. But I do remember, you know, Kim saying early on, boy, wouldn't it be great if they're athletic and maybe you're playing golf with them one day. And not only do we play 5 days a week now,
right.
4 or 5 days a week, and they're both into it. So it's not the same. We aren't the Griffies. We're not hitting back-to-back home runs. But to your point, I've gone from little blobs.
Yeah, you had a blob in your hand.
To I've got two men now that are better than me at golf, and we play literally at least three times a week, sometimes four,
yeah,
sometimes five.
That is really cool.
It is awesome. It is. We were out there yesterday.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, I'm walking. So we play at Bella Vista Country Club in Marlboro a lot now. We were there yesterday. There's no one there. I'm walking down the fairway with him. I'm like, dude, you're going to be 14. And then I'm thinking, like, this is pretty neat. Just me and him hanging out. It is. It's fun.
I know I don't have children of my own, Jerry, but I could imagine sitting there with my own
blob
child.
Going, boneless.
Going like one day.
Yeah.
He and I might scroll Twitter together.
I was going to say, sit in the living room and do nothing for 3 hours, except watch murder documentaries.
Yes. One day, this little blob, this little son of mine, we will watch a Netflix
but that's a bond.
Docuseries
that's
on murder.
Okay.
And then call the police together because someone left a can outside.
Why
yes.
not?
Me and this blob one day will together patrol the neighborhood looking for trouble.
Listen, Ron Darling had a kid at 50-something. It's not too late for you.
It's not too late.
You never know.
You
could have a little
owl
running around.
I need to have a baby, Jerry, so I only need somebody to take care of me.
Well, let's get going. You're going to be 55. You might want to move on this.
I don't know, Jerry.
If those swimmers are still active.
Well, my swimmers are active, Jerry.
You don't know that.
Don't you believe it.
What's that motility like?
They're barely moving.
They have a lifeline. Someone come get me.
Yeah. You know, they go guys, every time there's a million sperm, they say?
Yes.
Mine is like one sperm.
You have more than one.
Just swimming.
Now, they might be swimming sideways, but you got more than one.
I'd be like, you have to go up this tube. I'd be like, what?
Right. The sperm are just like you. Lazy.
All the way up the tube, all the way up the tube. That's where the egg is.
Too funny.
Is the egg in the tube or it comes down the tube?
I have no idea.
I think it comes down the tube.
Nor am I going to pretend to know.
Good
Not
call.
A clue.
Jerry, we talked about Caitlin Clark leaving college women's college basketball. And
they're going to retire her number in Iowa, they announced yesterday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We talked about how that's really going to probably be a big take a big hit for women's college
basketball.
I would
certainly think so.
And then we wondered, will the WNBA see more viewers because of this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing their damnedest, Jerry, to make this happen. Because the WNBA's Indiana Fever, who are expected to take her with the number one pick,
sure,
36 of their 40 games are going to be shown nationally.
She better not get hurt, then you'll have to be like a Jet situation and Aaron Rodgers. Have the Jets on Black Friday playing the Dolphins, losing 63-4.
So they are trying, Jerry. They are going to put her out there.
Now, see, I think it's good and it's bad. I think it's good from a standpoint of I do think it will attract ratings. I do think people will watch, maybe not as much as Iowa, but I think more than any other WNBA game. I think they'll get ratings. But the bad part of that to me is, what if the other games they put on are such, there's such a stark difference in viewership? So if you've got Fever Mercury on whatever Friday night on ABC and it does an 8 share. I don't even know what that means. Well, let's just say that. And then on Saturday night you put the Liberty and the Sun on, just throwing two names out there, and it does a 1.
Yeah.
Doesn't that prove then what we think?
Yeah.
That she really is the rock star of women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll find out soon enough.
Now, the bad thing is, much like all the other sports we've come to watch, they're spreading these games in a million places.
Mm-hmm.
So the WNBA has TV deals with ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, Prime Video, CBS Sports Network, NBA TV, and ION. That's where
ION.
Where these Indiana Fever games are going to be spread.
I watch NCIS on ION.
What is ION?
It's just a cable channel.
And they show a lot of reruns?
Yeah, a lot of reruns.
And the WNBA.
I guess so. I wasn't aware of that. Now, ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, all the same.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cross-promotion there. But then you introduce CBS Sports Network. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You guys got any openings?
maybe they have you
women's
and I,
basketball.
If you and I called one of those games, maybe we get some promotion.
Oh, I would do that in a blink with you. Is anybody listening over there?
You would have all the real stats, and I'd be like, Jerry, that look at that woman over there. She's open.
It would be entertaining, if nothing else.
Get it to Caitlin Clark.
Al, she's not on the team. Wrong game.
What?
Why am I in Phoenix, and where's the Fever?
What are we talking about?
You would love that. You would go to Phoenix for a Fever.
Absolutely.
The Phoenix Mercury.
Mercury.
Mercury Lynx. Would you do the game?
Yeah.
Now, if it was in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd probably still
you
go
because
right? It'd be fun, yeah.
Who do we talk to? Where's Tyler?
CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I think we know people there.
What's funny is whoever has the job of calling the Indiana Fever games, well, I guess they'll be different on different platforms.
I would think so. If you've got Amazon Prime, yeah. CBS Sports Network, it would be different, yes.
You think they have a local radio deal with
I do.
Sports radio
and if they don't, they will with her coming.
Yeah.
And Ryan Rucco, I believe, he's like the Mike. He does a lot of ESPN NBA games, but I think he's the Breen of the WNBA. He is their lead guy.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's really good, too. Rucco's tremendous.
Not as good as me, Jerry.
Well, we'll find out, maybe. I'm sending an email today. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll get you to Boomer and Geo. Right now, Odyssey Sportsman at Amy Lawrence and Otani.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry. The superheroes of WFAN.
Right, we got about a minute or so left. We left a lot of time there, Al. What else?
Jerry, see, the Mets were rained out yesterday, but I was surprised because the Mets have a 12 o'clock game today against the Braves.
Yeah.
So I thought we would get a doubleheader. But
no, September 26th.
That's so far away.
Yeah, that's the end of the regular season when they might be irrelevant or fighting for a wild card berth.
Man. If I have tickets to that game, I'd be like, I got to wait the whole summer, Jerry.
Well, listen, they got to make sure they get back in time to for their big battle against the Royals this weekend at an empty Citi Field. Mets-Royals?
When the Mets play the Royals.
This is not 2015.
We throw out the records.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mets-Royals. So I also see that Kodai Senga's on the 60-day IL.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's that big a deal. I think it sounds worse than it is.
Well, where was he?
I guess the regular IL, I suppose, but now you backdate it to when he got hurt, and I think he'll still be ready when they think he'll be ready.
You could go on a regular IL that doesn't have a day attached to it?
Well, it's 15, I believe. Is it 15. Right? Is it 15? And then they switch it to 60 if it's going to be later. It gives you a roster spot. Makes sense.
You got nothing between 15 and 60-day IL?
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.